Hello, this is Linda Davis. I'm doing an oral interview with Mr. George Hanrahan Jr. on November 19, 2009. We are in Frankfort, Kentucky at the History Center. And I'm going to ask Mr. Hanrahan just how he got into the military and what his observations were, and I'm going to let him take it, and then if I have questions, I'll jump right in. How's that?
Well, I got into the military. I was in college at Eastern Kentucky University, and the Vietnam War was on. I was in college from 68 to 72. And in December of 1969, they had a drawing for I call it the lottery. You see, it wasn't called a lottery. It was just a drawing for who was going to Vietnam. And of course, your birthday was assigned a number, and I just picked out of a hat. And of course, the lower your number, the better your chances are of going to Vietnam or being drafted. And by the fates, my number was 3. So I knew I was going to be drafted after my college deferment was up. And that was up in May of 1972. When I graduated from Eastern Kentucky University.
With a degree in social work?
I had a degree in political science.
Oh, okay.
And so rather than get drafted, I decided to enlist in the Navy. My father had been in the Navy, and I just thought that was the easier, softer way to go. I couldn't see myself in combat in Vietnam. So I volunteered for the Navy and enlisted in the Navy on July the 5th, 1972. And I went as an enlisted man rather than as an officer. I could have gone officer with a college degree, but I decided to just go enlisted.
And what made you decide that?
I've always had a problem with self-confidence. And I just figured I couldn't, the officer deal would be too hard. And plus, I just wanted to be honest with you, I just wanted to do it and get it over with. And it was a 3-year enlistment for the Navy, as opposed to 2 years if you'd been drafted, say, for the Army.
I see.
So that's how I came to be acquainted with the U.S. Navy.
Where did you do your basic training?
Did my basic training at Great Lakes, Illinois. And after Great Lakes, was assigned to ship.
And that was the ship that you were telling me about?
Yes, ma'am. That was Charles F. Adams. It was a guided missile destroyer. It was out of Mayport, Florida.
Were you on that ship your entire tour?
No, I was on that ship for a year. And then I was able to get off the ship and was sent to a hospital corpsman school. And therefore I went back to Great Lakes, Illinois, to what they call hospital corpsman school. And that lasted like 4 months. And then I got out of hospital corpsman school, and they sent me to the Naval Hospital at Millington, Tennessee, which is outside of Memphis.
Were you actually working directly with servicemen that were coming back from Vietnam that were injured at that point?
At the Naval Hospital?
Yes.
I'm sure I did, but that's funny. That's a good question. I don't know if they brought a lot of the wounded servicemen back to Memphis. Millington was a naval air station.
Right.
So we were primarily at that hospital taking care of people from Naval Air Station that were injured or had illnesses.
Did you treat families there also, the
dependents? I don't remember treating that many dependents. Maybe we did. Like, it's kind of murky, really.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
It's been a while. It's been a while.
What were the things that you enjoyed the most about the Navy, or maybe liked the least about the Navy, in terms of the people and just everything, the work that you did?
Well, what I liked the most was the travel. I was on this guided missile destroyer, and we went to the Caribbean a lot.
Tell us about this ship, a guided missile ship that you were on.
It was supposed to be a top secret, but we had nuclear capabilities.
Wow.
Our main guns were 5-inch 54s, and it shot the big, I'm not a military historian by any means, but shot the big shells. And so we went down to the Caribbean all the time, and we played war a lot down there, fired our guns.
Can you say where in the?
Oh, sure. I've been to St. Thomas, St. Croix. We went a lot to Puerto Rico.
Did you get to do any R&R?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we did a lot of R&R, Roosevelt Roads. That was, you know, at the time that was, I guess you could say that was fun. A lot of camaraderie and the travel. I've been to, we crossed the equator.
Wow.
And ported in Recife, Brazil, which is a big town, big city. Shouldn't call it a town, it's a big city. And then from there we went across the, what they call the Big Pond. It took us 11 days and we went to Luanda, Angola. So I've been to Africa. I've been places that I would never have been to if I hadn't been in the Navy. So that's the positive. I guess the negative, it was something that I had. I volunteered, but it was like I had the gun against my head.
Right.
So I went in with a kind of a bad attitude, doing something I really didn't want to do. Of course, the morale at that time from the Vietnam War was starting to wind down, but the morale was just very bad. So that was the main negatives of it.
You feel like the morale of even those that didn't have to go to Vietnam, you feel like the morale just across the board was really bad also?
I feel like it was. On a ship, it was bad. Now, I don't see, that's kind of hard. I don't know how it would have been if it was maybe a different era. Like, I don't know what the morale would be now, but I just know then it just seemed real bad, you know. And I think, of course, at that time, 73, the morale against in the country was bad, especially about the military and the war and all that. So,
what do you feel like you learned a lot just about life in general in the Navy? Do you feel like there are those kind of positives too?
I guess you could say. I mean, I learned that I could do what I had to do, you know.
Yeah.
I learned that I could take orders, you know.
That's a big thing right there, isn't
yeah.
it? For a young man.
Yes. Yes. So.
Were you, pardon me, you weren't married at this point.
No.
You were single,
right.
So you had more latitude about what to do
right.
and all that,
right.
what yep. you could do.
Yeah, there was a lot of it. I was drinking at the time. And there was always, you know, you hear the old slogan, join the Navy and see the world. Well, it was like, to me, it was join the Navy and see the bars of the world. We did a lot of drinking on Liberty. When Liberty came, after we'd been at sea, you know, you couldn't wait to get off the ship. And did a lot of Liberty, and a lot of that is just, well, it's blacked out. It just doesn't come back now.
Do you feel like that caused you a problem when you got back to civilian life, the drinking end of what you did?
Yeah, I had a, and I'll be honest with you, I had a an alcohol problem, and I think the Navy, I think I picked it up in college. I was, you know, and then the Navy, it was just, like I say, it was like, I tell people it was a three-year drunk. So that contributed, and then when I got back, when I got out, I continued with it till it really just started causing me some problems, and then I, thank goodness, I was able to stop.
Did you get a tattoo when you were in the Navy?
You know, I never got a tattoo, and I kind of regret now that I had at least gotten a small tattoo. Really, I thought about that recently, and then I thought, yeah.
Well, the Navy itself, you felt, has been a positive influence across the board on your life then?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's funny. I mean, I did 3 years of my life. If I hadn't joined the Navy, I would have probably, I'm assuming I would have probably started state government 3 years before that. Of course, in the Navy, they let you buy back your time to state government. So, you know, the travel was great. The meeting some of the people was great. It was just...
Have you kept in contact with any
no,
of the Navy?
No, I haven't kept in contact
with
them. No. Mm-mm.
Just had no desire to, or?
Well, I, you know, first when I got out, there was a couple guys that I did keep in contact, but you know, life just goes on, and everybody goes their own way, and you kind of lose contact.
Are you a member of any of the organizations like VFW? Or
no,
anything?
I'm not a member. My father always thought I could be a member of VFW because that's supposed to be a combat veteran, but we had. we had, of course, we had orders for Vietnam on that ship. We didn't have to go. And I think I was telling you earlier, we went to general quarters when we went to the Red Sea. That was September 73. So that's a question mark of whether I could have been a member of the VFW then. I just really, be honest with you, had no desire to join the American Legion. I had no desire to, some guys, maybe they thrive on those memories. Like I say, I had no, when the time I got out, I was very, it's strange, I was very much against the Vietnam War, and therefore I just had no.
Did you do any protesting or?
Well, not while I was, not while I was in.
Right.
And it's a thing that I'm perplexed with is that as much as I came to be against that war, why I wasn't against it more in college and then into the Navy, I'm not sure. I didn't really become against the war until I was, as I recall, on that ship, and that was September of 73.
What triggered that?
Well, just, I'm a political science major, and just the more I read and the more I heard and just, you know, about the war and what they said we were there for and what you could read between the lines and determine we were there for was two different things, and so.
Were you ever tempted to do any kind of protesting once you got back?
Well, see, when I got back, it was, I got out in April of 75. And, of course, Saigon fell April 30th of 75, so it was about over when I got back.
That's true.
I was going to say something else there, but I have subsequently, I think now maybe I'm making up for it from not protesting the Vietnam War. I subsequently have protested big time against the current war in Iraq and even protested against the first what's called Desert Storm War. I've been to Washington a number of times, so it's almost like I'm maybe making up for what I didn't do back then. When I was on the ship, the guided missile destroyer, I'd been on a ship about a month. We'll say this is October of 73. And like I said, I didn't go officer, so I was enlisted, and at that time I was swabbing the decks. And one morning at general quarters, general quarters every morning where they tell you what's going on for the day, and first class, bosun's mate came up and told us that I never will forget his words, that sailors were going to Vietnam. And a bunch of these young guys just started hooting and hollering, carrying on, and I just really just shook my head and said, holy loly, you know. Now, I had, like I say, at that time, I'd become against the war. And in looking back, I guess the easier, softer way was to, just stay on the ship and ride out my time. I would have probably done that, even if we'd gone to Vietnam, been off the coast, shelling, you know, North Vietnam. I'd probably just stayed. But, of course, the other option would have been, and it would have been too, I don't think I would have had the courage for it to skip out and go to Canada. You know, that would have been, then you would have been AWOL, and it would have just been, it could have been a real mess.
Did you think about that, though, going to Canada?
I thought about it. I don't think I thought about it really too deeply, although I wondered later if we had kept our orders and gone, what I would have done. But I think in retrospect, I think I would have stuck it out. You know, it would have been the easier, softer way.
You think your family would have been upset had you?
Maybe my father, because he was a Navy man, you know, and I think my mother would have been upset because she would have just been beside herself with worry, you know.
Right.
So maybe those things were weighing on me too, you know. But
did you have other brothers or sisters?
Well, I have a sister that's a year and a half younger, and then I have a brother that's he was 3 years younger. Now he's Pat. He died in 1988. Now my sister lives in Springfield, Kentucky, thereabouts, in Washington County. So, by the time Pat came along, Let's see, he got out of college, and he graduated from college in, like, we'll say, 75, so that he didn't have to worry about the draft.
Yeah, it was all, Vietnam was over at that point, wasn't it?
Let's see, 72, yeah, 75, yeah, it was over, so.
So you feel like, pardon me, that the context of what, how you felt about all that has really influenced your life today with the protesting of what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan?
I think that experience has just really, really soured me big time on American foreign policy. Yes, definitely.
You said you'd been to Washington and,
yes.
And with a group or just
yeah,
on?
With a group. Groups, I went with one group from Lexington, or they picked us up in Lexington. I've been to a couple times with the groups from Louisville. You would take the bus and ride the bus all night and then get divorced and protest for about 12 hours. Then you get on the bus and ride the bus back all night for 12 hours.
Is it a group that has a name or just a group of
people
that gets together?
I don't know. I would think it would just be a group of protesters against the Iraqi war.
Do you protest at the White House?
We didn't. Did we protest at the White House? We protested the last time I went. We protested at the Pentagon. They had a march, and I think the march wound up around the White House. But Brenda and I got out of the line before it got to the White House. So, yeah, that. From that era, that is just really, that definitely, that era had an effect on me, looking back. I know it has. I know it has even carried over to today.
How were you treated when you got back from Vietnam?
Oh, I was, there was no problem.
Not at all?
No. Well, you mean I got back out of the Vietnam era?
Right.
Well, there was no problem. like I say, it was winding down. I got out on April 4th of 75. So it was really winding down. I didn't...
You didn't feel like there was any resentment of you?
No, I didn't. I didn't experience that. Now, I know there was a lot of that, but I didn't experience it. I guess early on in the war. But.
As you with your work as a corpsman, basically,
right.
How long did your training go on to do that?
That was 4 months.
Was that actually done in a hospital environment too?
Yes. Uh huh. Yes, it was. Uh huh.
Did you have any kind of medical background before?
No, and I didn't. And when I was on the ship, an opening just came up about they needed a hospital corpsman, and so I applied, and I didn't get it, but they gave it to another guy. But then that perked my interest, so I went on and put in for the school, and sure enough, I got it, and then went to the school and then was sent to Memphis to the Naval Air Station, the hospital there in Millington.
With an enlisted guy as a with a college degree at any
rate,
but being part of the grunts, so to speak, did you catch any resentment from the other guys as a person with a degree and they didn't have, was that a problem?
I didn't ever pick up on that.
Did you have others in your group that were people with degrees too, or were you?
I think so.
One?
I think there were a few. I've just thought about this recently. So I'm trying to stay out of the Vietnam War, and so I opt to go to this corpsman school. And of course, the Marines or the corpsmen, the Navy corpsmen, serve the Marines. And so after corpsman school, they gave everybody their orders. And of course, I put in for Memphis. My sister was living there at the time. So, and I got it, but I was just thinking, they could have sent me to the Marines in California. And, that would have been a cruel twist of fate. And I just cannot imagine myself being in combat, And, but it, I mean, that worked out.
Yeah, that could have happened. You're
it
right.
Could. I've thought about that recently. It could have happened.
you felt like that you just you couldn't see yourself, pardon me, in combat just because you just can't imagine it, period, or just couldn't deal with it.
I'll be honest, I don't think I could have dealt with it. The blood and the violence and just that must have been. I wonder how those guys over there take it. I know there was a lot of pot. There was a lot of alcohol. Of course, I would have really been into that to try to get away from it.
Well, I think a lot of them did.
Right.
Yeah.
But then of course just not going out on these search and rescues and they didn't call them search and rescue. They call them just going out and just not knowing who's just the tension, just like the guys in Iraq now with the IED devices. Just it must have just been a nightmare knowing that any time it's over, and then seeing your buddies just blown away. I've got a friend that's buried up in the Frankfort Cemetery that got killed in Vietnam, and another good friend from Lexington that's buried in the Lexington Cemetery, killed in Vietnam. So,
what were they in the Navy also?
No, they were both they were both Army. They both flunked out of Eastern. Right.
That's what happened to the guys that flunked out a lot.
Flunked out, and then they ended up being sent to Vietnam. So,
did you go to the Vietnam War Memorial when you were in Washington?
Oh yeah, I've seen that a number of times. Right, I sure did. Of course, seen the one up in Frankfort too, which is very impressive.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
Very impressive.
That when I was. The reason I was asking about the Vietnam War Memorial, I think anybody that's ever gone to it, well, this one appears equally wonderful in a different kind of way, but everyone that sees that long black wall, I mean, it gives you chills.
Yeah, yeah.
So, did you look for the folks' names?
Yeah, I did, and I found them both. Of course, some people stencil them.
Right.
I didn't do that, but I did find both their names.
Did you leave anything?
I probably did.
A lot of people do that.
Right.
They actually do that up here too, though.
Yes.
Don't they?
Yes. That war, it just starts to me. To me, it makes you start reading between the lines. As to why we were there. They said we were there, and why we were really there. And the futility of it, and then to experience the same thing in the Iraq War. When you think it's just, I've come to believe it was a ploy for oil. And to say, then to hear the politicians talk and it's other things, And so that just really...
What kind of reaction are you getting from folks that know you've gone to Washington to protest? People that you know here?
I'm pretty liberal, and I really usually keep my opinions to myself. It's hard, sometimes they seep out, but I don't see any, most of the time, I don't see any point in expressing them. I don't know if, I think, of course, one friend went from Frankfort, went with me. I look for my openings. If I know they're on my same wave, we'll talk about it. But people that are, that are just say gung-ho military, I won't, I wouldn't go to the, maybe this is one reason I don't belong to the American Legion. I would not go to the American Legion to talk about, being an anti-war protester against the Iraq War. I think that would just be that would be self-destructive, futile, So,
do you try to influence people around you or project your opinion and try?
Well, I have written a number of letters to the editor, so I guess that's my main reason. I've written a number of letters about. Seem like I've kind of just taken up that in a relatively. Near past, if you will. I've written about the Iraq War, and it's all the deception and everything. So that's the way I, you can just tell some people. I can think of one guy in particular. They're just not going. They've got everything is black and white, and you're not going to accomplish anything. But now somebody. Somebody that is on your wavelength or somebody that you see is open, then sure, I love to talk. Political science, this is what I thrive on this stuff. even though it can be very depressing, I thrive on it, you know.
Well, I think we all need to be informed. I think it's great that you're doing that, that, mm-hmm. that you're, you know, the thing, too, that you never mistake the warrior for the war.
And, right.
We do have people serving in the military that are serving their country for a good reason.
Exactly. I
mean, and, but, you know,
I see those kids, so many of them just fodder for the war machine. You know, you'd see these pictures of, say, young Marines just getting out of boot camp at Paris Island. They look, you know, they're all so young. They're wet behind the ears. And they're gung-ho, and they don't, you know, they've never questioned it. You know, America, right or wrong, you know.
And that definitely reminds you of Vietnam. That
sure
they're
does.
So young.
Right. Oh, man.
And, you know, the average age, I think, of the people getting killed over there is 21, so.
In Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your involvement with the Navy pretty much ended the day that you got out then.
Yeah, I could have, I had the opportunity to join the Naval Air Reserve. And I flew to Washington one weekend. And it would probably have been a pretty good deal, I guess, because it would have, you know, but Washington, I'd got a free trip to Washington once a month. And but I was just distraught or disgusted or disillusioned by the military after I got out. And again, it's this morale problem. You know, I'm just soured on it completely. So I don't join the American Legion, and I don't join the Naval Air Reserve. Although, you know, again, in two-sided coin, it could have been a good adventure. It could have been, you know, a few more coins in the pocket.
Sure.
But
because you felt strongly about
right.
You weren't interested in the money because you felt like that it was just not the morally right thing to do. Because
yeah, I just couldn't see doing it. I was. It's almost like I washed my hands of it, the military, you know.
How old were you once again when you went in?
Well, let's see. I went in 72, and I was born in 49. Gosh, that would have been, we'll say, what, 22, 23?
Yeah.
Jeez, hard to believe.
Got out when you were 25.
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Did you start working for state government immediately when you got
no,
out?
No, I got out in 1975 in April, and then in August 1st of 75, I got a real good job with the Human Rights Commission in Louisville. I was a field investigator. But that job only lasted August, September, October, November. About 4.5 months, because then I was really having some readjustment problems. Even though I hadn't been in combat, I think I was having some readjustment problems to civilian life. And the alcohol was starting to play a bigger and bigger part in my life, and I was starting to get into marijuana, and I was, I'm bipolar, so I was in a manic phase, and just, so that all those things together, they asked me to, there were a great bunch of people I worked with, but they asked me to resign. And I did in December of 75, and then started graduate school at the University of Louisville, January 75, in political science, a real practical major, but I like it, you know.
Well, it means something to you.
It
so
does. It
whether
does.
Or not it's practical,
right,
it's important
exactly,
to you.
Exactly.
Plus, it's, you know, it certainly is fodder for all the things that have gone on in the world the
right.
past 40 years.
Right.
Plenty
right.
of things to talk about.
Right. Right.
Well, do you feel like that adjustment to civilian life, do you feel like the length of time that it took was particularly long, or what's your take on that?
I don't
that?
Know. That's a good question. The adjustment was coated with alcohol and marijuana, and so I don't know. I don't know. That's a hard question to answer, how long.
Were you going
I
to
got
the VA?
Sober in 83, so that's quite a bit. That's 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
8 crazy years.
Were you going to the VA for, or any kind of medical help at that point?
No, I don't think I didn't go to the VA. I moved to Louisville, and I would go to like little comprehensive care centers in Louisville. And so I didn't really avail myself. I broke my ankle one time and availed myself of the VA. And that's the only time. Now, there was probably other times, I had a lot of depression. So that was, there were probably other times that I might have, you know, maybe I'm trying to get antidepressants, but.
Were you real depressed before you went into the Navy?
I was, I started having some depression, I think, when I was a senior in high school. And then, of course, went through college. And really, I don't think any significant depression there. I went to the Navy, and there was a couple periods of real bad depression, especially when I was at Hospital Corpsman School. And
did you seek any kind of help?
I did. And then I had a real bad depressive episode in November of '74, and to back up. I'd gotten kind of a manic kick down in Memphis. And another sailor and I decided we were going to change the military system. We didn't like the new, right, crazy. We didn't like the new commander came in at the hospital, and it was every other day they're asking to tell you to get a haircut or get your shoes shined. So we thought this isn't right. And so we started raising little cane. And that's really crazy. So to make a long story short, it came to be that in November of '75, I got a hold of this sailor turned me on to some real potent marijuana. And I'd been manic. It facilitated a real bad depressive paranoid episode with me. Mm-hmm. And so the commander, I went one of 3 years, I was AWOL one day. And the commander, and I could see his point now, he wanted to, he wanted to court-martial me. So they put, I ended up on the psych ward in Naval Hospital Memphis where I had worked. And that was quite humiliating.
Ooh, I'll bet.
And so that wasn't doing any good there, so they sent me to the Bethesda Naval Hospital in Washington. And the thing I never will forget, you talk about, is I would ask this doctor, one of the doctors, I said, "Doctor, I need some antidepressants here. I'm in bad shape. You know, I don't want to see the sun come up in the morning." And I never will forget, he says, we're not going to give you anything. If we do, you'll be hooked on the rest of your life. So I don't have much use for Navy psychiatry.
So they never gave you anything?
No. Now, the doctor in Memphis did give me some. He gave me some Valium. That's the only thing I've ever taken, Valium. You know, just kind of anxiety. I'll give him credit for that, the guy in Memphis did. But when I got to Washington, no, nothing.
So how long did you have to stay there?
I was there, let's see, I went there in did like February of '75, and I got out April of '75, early April, so. And I got out I went to see an officer there, and he threw the court martial out. He said, you got a good record. And one day AWOL in 3 years, good record. So he threw that out, and I got out, like I said, April '75. But ever since then, I've had depression on and off. It's a chemical imbalance. So I don't know how much readjustment, I don't know if that really, has played, if that's a really contributing factor. I think when I first got out those first months and I got out and I was extremely depressed, and then I came out of it and I kind of went, kind of went manic again. And I don't think, at that time didn't have any medication. And so it was, but.
When you were discharged from the Navy,
mm-hmm.
Did you try to get help with that,
I did. I'm just trying to think now. I'm sure I started going to cop care.
Yeah.
Here in Frankfort. Looking for a brand. And I know, remember when I was in, I moved to Louisville in August '75, and I would periodically be in and out of depression, and I would go to comp cares, and they would put me on different antidepressants.
Right.
So they would, it's almost like they got to experiment to find what runs right for your system.
Right. Did you, you know, some folks you know, mustering out of Navy, Army, or whatever, if they've had physical problems, they try to get compensated, like they'll get 25% disability.
I never tried that. I don't, you know, maybe I could have gotten it, kind of could have made the point that.
Well, with the episodes that you had, maybe you could have, but.
But you know, it's for the best. I mean, I don't know if I'd have gotten that. Then you can only, I think that really, you know, they only let you work so many hours a week, right? If you have disability, you're only allowed to work.
No, I think if you're decreed that amount of disability, like 25%, you get X number of dollars, and you can work full time, you can still manage.
Okay, I didn't know that. No,
but
I thought of that, but I just never.
Just never did it.
Never did it. No.
Well, I think that wasn't very common back then anyway. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when we were younger, I mean, you were just supposed to kind of buck up and take it. So,
Exactly.
That, and especially for any kind of anything other than physical issues, which wasn't right, but that's kind of the way it was
right then. Right.
Well, you said you had gone to the VA hospital for when you broke your ankle.
I had a broken ankle.
Did were you happy with the care you
got
there?
Yeah, I was happy. They did a good job. And like I say, I don't recall, though. I might have gone there for some, you know, antidepressant medication, but I'm not sure. And I know I went to comprehensive care in Frankfort, you know, the comprehensive care or what are seven counties in Louisville. So.
Well, when you worked for state government for how long, did you say?
I worked for state government, the first time I only worked, we'll say, 4.5 months.
Right.
And then that didn't work out, so then I started going to UofL, working on a master's degree. And I finally got that in 83, and then I worked from 83. I worked for state government then for basically 17 years.
Oh, okay. And then in the social services department?
Social services and juvenile justice, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever feel like in juvenile justices that some of the kids need to be in the military to straighten them out or anything? Or did you ever feel about stuff like that?
Well, that's a good question, too. I think, yes. I think that's a good question. That's a double-edged sword. But, I think you got something there, yeah. It was very, very frustrating. But, of course, then you're looking for that little glimmer of light in their eyes, you know. Or when they start doing, when they actually do something right, of course, then they'll turn back on a dime. They'll turn again. But, yeah, I think that's a good. Maybe it's we had a military a pseudo military outfit like in Elizabethtown that we'd send kids to, you know, they weren't enlisted, but still it's regimented. I think they wore
uniforms. Like a drill sergeant,
right?
And
they wore
sort of
uniforms,
thing.
So I think that was, you know, great. These kids had never had any discipline, so
whole different way of life. Mm-hmm. When you were in basic training and going. Do you have AIT in the Navy like you do in the Army? So you go from basic training to AIT, or?
Yeah, we had it seemed like we got out of basic, and then it was like maybe 2-3 weeks for some kind of advanced schooling or something.
Yeah. Well, when you were in that, were you thinking, you know, this is not my cup of tea, or were you just kind of, you were there because you knew you had to be there, so you didn't think about it?
I just, like I say, I was rolling with the flow. I was just going to go on and do it. That was the easier, softer way. You know?
Did you have a lot of contact with your parents while you were there? Did you get letters and send letters and all that?
Letters and phone calls, sure. Yeah. Well, they're deceased now, but I had good parents. Very good.
Did you keep any of the letters or notes or whatever that they sent you when you were...
When I was in?
Yeah.
I don't think I did. Okay, well, now that you mention it, I kind of wish I had, but.
I've got all the letters my brother sent me when he was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think a whole lot about it at the time, but then time passes by, and here we are in 2009, and that was in 1970, whatever. So it is kind of nice to have some of that stuff. Look, mm-hmm. Of course, some of those letters were written when he was kind of in the shape that you were in a few times, I think. So.
Yeah.
You know how it is in the Navy.
Right.
But the Navy itself, as compared to other people you've heard talking about different services, you think it was harder, easier, or other than the combat end of it, obviously?
I think the boot camp was a lot easier.
Do you?
Yeah. And, you know, we only, they would actually cancel some kind of physical exercise sometime because it was too hot. I'm serious.
Really?
So boot camp was a lot easier. You just basically went to classes all the time.
Did you have to learn to swim, or did you know how to swim already?
Well, I'm not a good swimmer, but you did have to take a swimming test, so I somehow made it through that, made enough to pass, yeah.
Did you have to do, with the physical tests and all that, did you have to pass a bunch of, you know, the sit-ups, the push-ups, the pull-ups, all that kind of thing?
Like I say, it was very, very, very weak. When I was in boot camp, first day they issued us our clothing, and they issued your boots. And I wear like a size 8.5, 9, and this guy gives me a 7.5 boot. And I said, buddy, that is too small for me. He said, you know, basically take it and shut up and put it on. And I did, and I got what's called cellulitis on my right. Mm. So I ended up going through boot camp with a flip-flop on my right foot. So they got me out of a lot of stuff. It wasn't hard, so.
Well, that's interesting. You hear different people talking about the different things they've gone through with basic and AIT or whatever the schools are and all that. Well, the Navy itself had a very dramatic effect on your life, just to make you understand from a political aspect that war is not all it's knocked up to be.
It took 3 years, but again, that's balanced by the fact that I got to do a lot of traveling. As best I can remember, I saw, I've been to places I never would have seen.
Take a lot of pictures?
You know, I took some pictures, not a lot. We didn't have those then.
Right.
But I took some. I think I've got right at home. I've got them somewhere.
Did you keep your uniform or your pea jacket?
I've got at home, I think a couple of uniforms. Pea coat got stolen. I've still got the big bag, a sea bag.
Yeah.
And that's got a bunch of junk. I've been thinking about needing to get that out and see what's in there, you know.
You haven't gone through it since you brought it back?
It's been a while, yeah.
Well, that could be interesting.
It could be, couldn't it?
You might even want to donate some of your stuff here.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, because we have the military exhibit and military treasures going on now. Yeah, that might be something to look through. You might get a surprise or two.
Yeah.
I kept my brother's pea coat.
Okay.
And had it altered for me, and I'm still wearing it to
this day.
Yeah.
Those are good coats. Those are real good coats.
That coat will be around when we're all gone. I mean, they're tough on that. The fabric is just,
you'd have to go out here to Elder Beerman and you could see a pea coat, right? Don't they sell them?
But it's nothing like this one.
No.
You know, the fabric in these things was, I guess, they were made to last forever and ever. Right. Amen. So, but you didn't keep any of your uniform stuff?
Well, like then? I say, I've got one of the dress whites, you know, it's hanging up in a closet at home.
That would be neat to donate. You might want to think about it.
Okay. Yeah.
When you think about the Navy in general, just when you said when you kind of think about it, sometimes it kind of bothers you. Do you have good memories?
Well, I don't. See, I don't think about it that often. I guess I guess one of the negative memories I have is that you had guys, and that just the way the system is, you had guys would say one more strike than you had. It's probably just like any bureaucracy. You know, you have one more stripe and they're telling you what to do and you realize this guy's got an IQ of 60, you know, and it just, I have problems with, I can go along, but also have problems with authority, you know, so. But I hardly ever think about it. It's amazing. It seems like a dream now. But to look back and think that, you know, I did the deal, went through it, did the deal, was in shape at that time, young, you know, full of vinegar.
Well, you served your country.
Well, sure, I served the country.
Yeah. That's something to be proud of, hang your hat on, for sure.
Right.
Do you think that to hear people talk, and when you're in a group of people and they're talking about, like, Iraq, for instance, or war in general, mm-hmm. do you feel compelled to really kind of state your opinion?
Sometimes I do, you know. I really do. Yep.
Do you get any hostile reaction?
Oh, I think you get, I'll call it misunderstandings, you know. That's what I'll call it.
Yeah.
Well, I've mellowed out. I mean, when I was drinking, I was, you know, the drinking is takes away inhibitions, and you know, as I recall and what I've heard, I was quite vociferous. So I've mellowed out. I realize I don't have to join in every argument, or you kind of got to, you know, wait for your openings. And I like, you know, I like the letter writing format, you know, and I've written a number of letters to the editor, but I've also written up journals and stuff of, some pretty radical stuff about, you know, the wars and the government and.
Do you send letters to congressmen in Washington?
I have. To this point, I've always kept them pretty tame, you know. They'll usually send you, if they do respond, they'll send you a form letter back, you know. So.
Do you send letters to the editor of the paper here?
I've sent them to the paper here, and I've sent them to the Lexington Herald. Uh-huh. I've sent them to the Courier Journal.
Oh, so you're hitting all the papers around the state,
yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah, I have done that, yeah.
Do people write back and respond to your letters, do you know?
I've heard, you know, some people have, I haven't yet to have that, but I've had to encounter some people on the street that were very complimentary, you know. I haven't encountered any, and anti, but I would, you know, I think I could handle that if I did.
Well, you obviously feel very strongly, and that's...
I do.
Yeah, and plus you express yourself well, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, in being in the military, that gives you the right to have your opinion in a big way, in a lot of people's estimation anyway, I think, because you've served your country,
right.
And you have the right to speak
out.
Well,
I mean, you have the right even if you're not in the military, but I see what you're saying.
There's an edge there, though, I think, that it gives you having served.
Right.
And I think most people really appreciate that. I think they see someone that's protesting that's been in, as opposed to someone that hasn't been in, I think they see it differently. Mm-hmm. I think the world in general does. Do you?
As far as their opinions on the military, the people see it differently? Yeah, I can see, yeah. I really respect, you know, you see even generals that are, you know, questioning things, and I really respect that. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
And like the fellow that's in charge of everything in Iraq right now,
right.
The general, I mean, he's making some large statements about what he needs. And
right.
Now, how do you feel about that?
Are we talking about Iraq or Afghanistan or?
Iraq, and I can't remember the fellow's name right now.
Yeah, I can't either. And he's making some statements about what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
Are they talking about
the amount of troops and that sort of thing?
Oh, so they're probably talking about more troops for Iraq because their security thing is not working since we're pulling out in our election. I don't know. I have problems with it. I mean, we're between a rock and a hard place. You know, we're between a rock and a hard place over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the same, Afghanistan is the same thing. It's a quagmire, and yet, you know, we don't want to, if Afghanistan goes and it's Pakistan next and all that stuff. So it's a tough one.
It is. And overall, you feel that that sending more troops is a good or a bad thing from your perspective as a veteran?
What, to Iraq?
Or Afghanistan,
well,
or both, actually.
I've really got problems with sending more to Afghanistan, and I guess I'd have problems sending more to Iraq. I mean, how long does this go on? I mean, you know, of course we sent, We sent 550,000 troops to Vietnam. What, you know? Quite a price.
Huge price.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that we can stop the interview now.
Okay.
And thank you so much.
Thank you. You're very good. You're better. I just keep saying you're better than Katie Couric.
Oh,
next Katie Couric.